Psalm 92 is a unique psalm in that it was a psalm that was called, if you will, a Sabbath psalm. A Sabbath psalm. It's the only one that was called that, by the way. And so it was unique in that fashion. There's a good chance that it was used on the Sabbath. As a song or as a way of meditating on this particular psalm that's in our Bible that they would have had in this time period and moving forward. What we learn as we read Psalm 92, we're not going to cover the whole psalm, but we learn a couple of things by way of introduction. We learn that the Sabbath was not just a day of rest, because there was a gathering together of God's people to sing this song, if you will, psalm, to meditate on it as a congregation. And they gathered together to worship and to praise the Lord as a group. Now, there wasn't a church yet, per se, as we have right now, because the church was started by the Lord Jesus and his disciples, okay? So I'm not trying to say that they were having, it was a church, but it was a gathering together of people. And they would praise the Lord together, not just from their homes. Now, I'm all for praising the Lord at home. I'm all for everyone reading God's word at home. You should do that. You should pray at home. You should praise the Lord at home. And depending on how close your neighbors are, you should really praise the Lord, right? And you don't have to scare them with it if you get really excited. But that's fine if you do every once in a while. I mean, just go to a football game or a soccer game. People get excited and crazy and do wild things and paint their face and all that. So you don't have to necessarily paint your face and say, I love Jesus. But no problem doing that at home. That's not the point. The point is that corporate worship is biblical. Corporate, meaning what we're doing right now, we're gathering together, we're singing praises to the Lord. We've been doing that. We've had prayer multiple times. I'm not saying we're the best thing since sliced bread. I'm just saying that's part of biblical worship, coming to the Lord in humility, which we all need more of, right? We all need more humility, and worshiping Him. And it's biblical, and it's a must. It's vital. I don't know how a child of God cannot have a connection to a local assembly. I don't know how someone can do that and fulfill everything that God wants them to do. Okay? It doesn't have to be Anchor Baptist. Like I said, there's other places that God may lead someone to. Now, you're here today. We're so honored that you've come. I'm not saying we don't want you to come back. That's not the point. But the point is, we want to find God's will. How about we say it that way? We want to find God's will on where we're to put our roots down when it comes to the church. Now, this is a church. What is a church? It's a group of born-again, baptized believers who are committed together to do and follow the Great Commission. That's what we're committed to do. Praise the Lord. Yesterday, we said goodbye. Or see you later, actually. But, you know, the Bible was preached, the gospel was given, even in that setting. In fact, it was given over and over again. What was it? It was a gathering together of the church. Church is not the walls. The church is not the steeple. We met outside here for several months, a couple of summers, and we put tents up. That was the church. We meet over there in New West. That's the church. We've met in this parking lot. And the point is that pray and ask the Lord to guide you to a local assembly. And then you want to join that assembly and be a member of that assembly. And if you're not a member here, we can talk to you about that. And it's biblical. And it's important. God did not intend for us to stay home and sing and read the Bible only with our family. Now, that's what we should do. But this is so important. What we're doing here today. It's not something that we got up one morning and thought, hey, you know what? We should go to church on Sunday. Maybe that's a novel idea. No, this is something that was started by the Lord. The Lord started this. And we gather together every Sunday and we say, up from the grave he arose. Because we gather together on the Lord's Day, as we find in Scripture. We're not covering that right now, but Jesus' tomb was empty on Sunday. And we can gather any day, but Sunday is the Lord's Day. That's something that we should really settle in our heart. We'll get to the message here in a minute. It's a short message, but the introduction is just a really long one today, okay? We should settle that in our heart. Sunday is not soccer day. Now, you can play soccer. I'm not saying don't play soccer with your kids in the yard. It's not volleyball day. It's not fishing day. Only for men, right? Sunday's the Lord's day. And we should guard it. Guard it. Guard it with your zeal for God. It's not to be guarded for the pastor's sake. It's not to be guarded for Pastor Kevin's sake. It's to be guarded for your sake and for an honor to the Lord. So they sang what we just read on the Sabbath. We don't gather on the Sabbath anymore. The Sabbath still exists. The Sabbath means rest. We gather on the Lord's Day because the Lord rose on Sunday. Verse 1 says, it is a good thing. Now, if you know something is good, do you want to be involved in it, yes or no? Yes, right? If we know something is good, then we want to mark it down, and we want to be involved in it every chance we get. So the Bible here gives us one. It's very clear. It is good, a good thing, to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. It's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Count your blessings. Had no idea that was coming today. I mean, I saw it, but the two did not coincide by my working or Pastor Kevin's or whoever chose that song. It wasn't planned by man, but it was planned by God. No question now in my mind. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praise unto thy name, O Most High. In our text, we find a few things, and we're going to be using our Bibles a little bit more than we normally do, and I'll try to be aware of you turning, but we may not give everyone a chance to be able to turn to these. But they'll be coming a little bit more toward the end of the message, but I believe you'll see why, and we want God's Word to speak, most importantly, anytime we gather together. Number one, what do we give thanks for? What is it good to give thanks for? Number one, God's loving kindness. God's loving kindness. In verse number 2, Scripture reads, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning. You know what that means? We could say every morning when we get up, every morning when we get up and God allows us to pick ourselves up off of that mattress, you know, and we get up and we pull our legs out of the bed and we stand up, that's a good thing. That's a blessing. It's an opportunity as we make our way out of the bedroom or we make our way to wherever we're headed right after we get up. We're headed to the coffee machine or we're headed to the teapot or we're headed to get our Bible or we're headed to just, you know, figure out which end is up, you know, where am I? And, you know, get the good old goo out of our eyes, you know, sorry about that. But wash our face a little bit, try to wake up. The psalmist says, it is a good thing to give thanks for his loving kindness. What does this word loving kindness mean? Here's what it means. I knew you'd ask. It means great, loyal, covenant love. Somebody said the love of God earlier. Count your blessings. The love of God. Tender, benevolent affection. Every morning we have the opportunity, and it's a good thing every morning to pause at some point and say, God, I'm so thankful for your loving kindness in my life. God, I'm so thankful for your loving kindness in my family's life. God, I'm so thankful for your loving kindness in the life and ministry of Anchor Baptist Church to give thanks every morning. It is a good thing for us as followers of the Lord Jesus to give thanks for his loving kindness, for his great and loyal love. Think of that word loyal. As many times as my loyalties have been split. You know how easy that happens? Where our loyalties get split, really our loyalties should be singular. We should be loyal to the Lord, period. That's it. And he will show us what we're supposed to do with our life and our day. But you know, it's so easy for our loyalties to be divided. Maybe that's a better way of saying it, but that's not how God is. God's love is loyal to me, even when I'm not loyal to him. Wow. God's love is loyal to you, even when you're not loyal to him. We have a merciful, loving kindness, Jehovah God, who it is a good thing that we give thanks for his loving kindness. Would you turn back to the 63rd Psalm? Please, the 63rd Psalm. Give him thanks. That's the theme today. Give him thanks. I've been meditating on this and thinking about the New Testament. I don't know that we're going to turn to it today, but in everything give thanks. 1 Thessalonians, I think, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The Bible says that we're supposed to give thanks in everything. It's kind of hard to give thanks for everything, isn't it? I don't know if we're allowed to say that we don't give thanks for something, but we'll give thanks in something. I don't know if we want to twist words like that, but every situation that we're in, every morning when we get up, God, thank you for your loving kindness. I have this toast in front of me. I have this coffee in front of me. Thank you for your loving kindness. I have this bowl of rice in front of me. How many of you say amen to that? A bowl of rice. Come on now. We're going to get down where you're excited about it, all right? I have this bowl of rice. I have this provision. Thank you. Psalm 63, verse 3, the Bible says, because thy loving kindness is better than, what's the next word? Life. August 26th, in the morning, sometime before noon, we gathered around the bed of Brother Ramon. And the doctor, the nurse came in, and after we had done several things, the nurse came in and she took out the tube and all of that. We were singing and praying about it all. Then turned off that machine that was breathing for him. We continued to sing and meditate on our brother. And Miss Nuri, his wife, went over to his right side and just was speaking to him. I believe he was probably already in the presence of the Lord, or soon to be anyway. But she was speaking to him, and I don't know how much time went by after the machine was turned off, but out of nowhere, Ramon had not moved in 4 days. He came in on Friday. He had not moved, not a muscle. I don't know what it was, but I know that God was in it. All of a sudden, his wife is by his side, and all of a sudden, he raised both of his arms. If I hadn't been there, I don't know if I'd believed it. I'm just saying it like that, okay? I've never witnessed anything like this in my life. I've been at the bedside of several people who've gone on. It could have been anything. I'm not saying. I'm just saying His arms went up. That's all that happened. His arms went up, but as if there was another set of arms. Because the Bible says here, the loving kindness of God is better than what? Life. You know what? I really believe wholeheartedly that on that day, that morning, Brother Ramon experienced the loving kindness of God like never before. And when you go and I go, if you're saved and on your way to heaven, you take your last breath, you know what? You're going to experience the loving kindness of God like you never have before, because it's better than life. And as much as we were crying and grieving, and the family is crying and grieving, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with grieving. That is part of the whole process. But I can just see in my mind's eye on the other side, if you will, that there's a bald-headed, maybe he got his hair back right away, I don't know. There's a bald-headed man. Sorry, Brother Ron. There's a bald-headed man up there. That's not till the new body, though, so that's probably not happened yet. And he's in the presence of the Lord experiencing loving kindness on a whole new level. Makes you kind of jealous, doesn't it? Makes me jealous. I'm not ready to leave unless the Lord takes me, but I'm ready to go. I know the Lord, and I'm ready to go if the Lord takes me. But until then, aren't you glad we don't have to wait to experience ultimate? We do have a level of loving kindness even now, but the Bible says here, better than life. I thought that was very helpful to read in my personal walk. My lips shall praise thee. I can say this morning from the depths of my heart that God is good, but it has not been easy for me. And not been easy for you. It's not been easy for the family. I'm not saying I'm grieving like the family, but it has not been easy for me to accept that this was God's will. I accept it by faith, but there's another side of me that just... And yet the psalmist said, my lips shall praise thee. Knowing and believing that we are loved by God is what will keep us moving forward in our walk with the Lord. Excuse me. Knowing and believing that we are loved by God is what will keep us moving forward in our walk with the Lord, no matter what difficulty comes our way. Loving kindness. I think about that song. I don't know if it's in the hymn book. Thy loving kindness is better than life. I guess obviously it's from Psalm 63. Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I lift up my hands in thy name. Something like that. Is that right? Yeah. My tune was completely in the gutter, but. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee. I will lift up thy hands unto thy name. Let's try it. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands unto thy name. Thy loving kindness. The second thing that we see in the Psalm 92. We give him thanks for loving kindness, and then at night, we give him thanks for faithfulness. And I think for me, the reason why we give him faithfulness at night is because we've made it through another day. And we say, Lord, thank you for your faithfulness, because at about 3 o'clock this afternoon, I didn't think I was going to make it. or 5 o'clock or whatever, or when that tough thing came across my desk at work, or when this issue came, or whatever it may be. And yet when we get to nighttime and we get our slippers on, if you have them, or whatever, and we get ready for bed and we put our pillow on our head at night, as the psalmist says, it is a good thing to give him thanks at night. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness. Another day went by. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen. Another day went by. You gave me everything I needed. You gave me the breath to breathe. Hallelujah. Hey, just remember, without God, you aren't breathing. Without God, I'm not breathing. Thank you, God, for the breath to breathe, even if it's bad breath. Amen? Come on now. Laugh a little bit now. It's okay to laugh in church. Praising the Lord. It's a good thing to give thanks for faithfulness. Every step I took, God gave me the energy to take it. Every place you went, God was with you, as someone said earlier today. God is faithful. Turn over to the 119th Psalm. 119. That's a big one, isn't it? Next year's theme verse is Psalm 119. Did I forget to tell you that? When you get there, look how many verses it is if you're not aware. By 52 weeks, we might get to 172. I don't know. Psalm 119, I like verse 90. There's a lot of them that are really good. They're all good, but I love verse 90. It says, thy faithfulness is unto, what's that next word? All. Psalm 119, 90. Thy faithfulness is unto all, what? Generations. You know what that means? You're included and so am I. His faithfulness did not stop when Jesus went to heaven and the Holy Ghost came. No. All generations. So your heart's ticking, and even if it wasn't ticking, God's faithful to take you to heaven if you're saved. God's faithful unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. As much as the earth abides, and it keeps on going, that's how much God is faithful. It's for all generations. Knowing and believing that God is faithful will keep us from worrying when we cannot see how it will work out. These are some things that God has given me in recent days. Knowing and believing that we are loved by God is what keeps us moving forward in our walk with God, no matter what difficulty comes our way. Knowing and believing that God is faithful will keep us from worrying. Well, that's a tough one, isn't it? When we cannot see how it will work out. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We don't live by sight as Christians. Eventually, our faith will be sight. Just like Ramon experienced the unconditional love of God like never before, he also experienced sight like never before. He doesn't have to have faith anymore. He's in the presence of the Lord. Our faith will be sight one day too, if we know the Lord. Then there's a third thing that we want to give thanks to. Remember, it is a good thing to do what, church? Give thanks. I know there's a lot of other good things, but today it's a good thing to what? Give thanks for his loving kindness, for his faithfulness. And look, if you will, in verse number 4. For thou, Lord, 92:4. Sorry, Psalm 92:4. Give you a chance to get back over there. He says, for thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. One more time. O Lord, how great are thy works. Three times in two verses, the psalmist says, God does great works. So I'd say number 3, it is a good thing to give thanks for his works. Have your fingers ready, okay? better, way better than the Yellow Pages, which we probably don't use anymore. Turn to Psalm 73, please. His works. Oh, I'm so thankful that God is not done working. Psalm 73, verse 28. God's word reads, "But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare," excuse me, thank you, "that I may declare all thy works." That I may declare, okay? What does that mean? Talk about it. So it's not just for you and me to say, yes, God is working in my life. Tell somebody. Tell somebody how God is working in your life. Go to work Monday morning and tell somebody how God is working in your life. Go to school Monday morning and tell one of your peers, this is how God is working in my life. Whoever it is, find somebody. Tell them, God, this is how God, tell another believer, this is how God is working in my life. Turn over to Psalm 86. Psalm 86 and verse 8. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto thy works. You know, sometimes we get to thinking it's our work. No, it's not our work. It's His work. But guess what we are? We're His hands. But it's His work. We're His mouth. But it's His work. We're His feet. Got to take it to others. But it's His work. No matter what body part we are for the Lord, that's in the New Testament, everybody, a finger, a nose, whatever. It's not our work. It's His work. And the psalmist says, there is no other work like your work. Nothing. But I'm thankful we get to be in His work. Aren't you? Maybe your contribution to His work right now, the way your life is you are praying for God's people faithfully at home. And that is your work in His work. Praise the Lord. We need people that take that prayer sheet and go over it frontwards and backwards and pray for the things that are on that list and pray for the missionaries that are on our... Now, we all should be praying, but sometimes we get to a stage in our life where we can't run around anymore like we're 30 years old or whatever age that is, but we can be faithfully interceding on behalf. Prayer is work involved in His work. It's God's work. Psalm 104. May God just continue to speak to your heart through His word. Psalm 104. It is a good thing to give thanks. Psalm 104:24. O Lord, how manifold. Ah. How manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. It's not just one thing. God's at work in many places. God's at work in this building right now. This building was not built to have church, all right? But it's not about the building. God works where His people are. Again, the importance of being here. Yes, God works in our family devotions at home, but it's a different way. Remember, His works are manifold. He wants to work in your and my heart here. And when we're physically able and so forth, let's be here because His works are here. Tonight at 6 o'clock, He's going to work there. Tonight at, or this afternoon at 2 o'clock in another language group, He's going to work there. We want God to work everywhere. Yes, God can work at home. God can work at the park, wherever you are with the God can work because you're a believer. But I'm so thankful His works are manifold. Psalm 139. And that we get to be involved in these works. That's a privilege. Psalm 139, verse 14. You've quoted this or read it many times. You'll see when you get there. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy what? Works. And that my soul knoweth right well. They're marvelous. They're not just, you know, everyday run-of-the-mill simple things. They're marvelous. Even if it's just what we perceive to be simple, it's a marvelous work. We're speeding up here. Psalm 143, just maybe one page over, verse 5. Oh, this is one. This is one to really get a hold of. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. And the hands of God was also mentioned in our text, Psalm 92. I'll give you a couple more references. Psalm 145, 4 and 10. Let's go to Revelation 15. Revelation 15. Please. And let's see verse number 3. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, capital L, notice that. This might even bring up a song in your memory as well. I'm not going to try this one, okay? We did all right on the last one, but we'll leave this one alone. But it's playing right now in my head. Maybe it's in your head too. Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. I almost started singing it. Okay, Lord. Come on, Holy Spirit, keep me from singing. I don't want to ruin the moment, all right? Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Notice, great and marvelous. And we get to witness them. Hey, the works of God are continuing even in the example of Brother Ramon, as two of his siblings have been saved since he went to heaven. Two of his siblings. Only him and his sister were saved prior to his passing with the Lord. And since then, a brother and a sister and her husband have been saved just since he went to heaven. You know what that is? The marvelous works of God. When we say, God, what are you doing? Why are you taking our brother? God says, because I got great and marvelous works to do. And he's in my loving kindness, and he's in the sight right now. So don't worry about Brother Ramon. I got great and mighty works to do. And we sit back and say, yeah, that's yes, yes, Lord, you're right. And your works are great. Here's another thought the Lord gave me. Again, nothing deep, but I needed the Lord to help me. Knowing and believing that God is still at work today will keep us pressing on in service for Him. Press on. Our daughter Emma and her friend Abby and their friend David. Interesting story here. I'll give it quickly and we'll be done. Two of those people that were singing with her, one of them, I don't really want to go into all the details because we're online, but her dad was very near and dear to me and also near and dear to this ministry. They serve the Lord in the Middle East. We'll just say that. He's with the Lord now. But she was singing with Emma, and then David Childers was singing with them. And David Childers' uncle, many years ago, was a student at Crown College. And he was in a tour group. And the tour group that summer was hit head-on by a semi-truck and instantly killed all of them, instantly. David Childers was one of them in that car, as well as several people that we knew who were here at Anchor Baptist the previous summer singing. And David Childers, that's here on earth, was named after his uncle, who's with the Lord. And they were serving the Lord this summer at a church in Libby, Montana. Today is the grand opening of the church. They had some special meetings leading up to it, and today is the grand opening of a brand new church in Libby, Montana. And one of the young men, just dropped his name. I've been communicating with him, and he's there serving the Lord this right now to help with that. Elijah is his name. And today is this first service. Anyway, the Lord led them to sing a song. And just a humble group there. And the name of the song is Press On. I can't tell you how many times Emma sent me a copy of it on the phone, and I put it up. I've made it where it's not public because I don't want to compromise Abby's family in any way. But I sent it maybe to a few of you. I can't remember if I did, but I've been listening to that song a lot in recent days. And I'm so thankful that we can press on. And it's because we know and believe that God is still at work. This book is not just a book of history, although it is. It's present. It's now. And I encourage you, get in on the work of God. Get in on it. Do something to labor for the Lord. Again, prayer warrior, great. Picking up stuff in the washroom, in the parking lot, giving out gospel tracts, using your gifts and abilities for the Lord. God is at work today. And knowing that and believing that will help me, will help you press on in service for Him. The greatest work that God is still doing is the work of salvation. He's still saving people. As we just mentioned, family members in Honduras have been saved. To God be the glory. How about you? Are you ready to take your last breath? Do you know you're saved? I don't mean, do you know about God? Do you know about the Bible? Do you know about Jesus? A lot of people, I believe, have gone into eternity knowing about biblical things, but they weren't born again. Jesus said to a man, a religious man, he said in John 3, he said, you must be born again. Confused him a little bit. He thought he meant physically born again. Go back into the mom and come out again. No. That's not what he meant. He's talking about a spiritual birth that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. I don't have time to talk to everybody at one time today, but right now I'm talking to everybody at one time, not individually, but I'm asking you, are you saved according to what the Bible says? And if not, that is the work that God wants to do today. And the work part of it has actually already been done. When Jesus was on the cross, the last thing he said before he gave up the ghost was, "It is finished." Meaning you don't have to work to get to heaven. God did the work through Jesus. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Are you saved today? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Not just as an important man or whatever, but your personal Savior. If not, why not come to Him today? How about it, dear Christian? You know what it's a good thing to do? Give thanks. It's a good thing to do that. Give thanks in the morning for His loving kindness. Give thanks in the evening for His faithfulness. Give thanks all the time for His mighty works, His marvelous works.